things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 15 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
Unfortunately, not a good outcome.
No. Almost. You almost had the Aaron Rodgers comeback at the end of the game.
Oh, man. It was tough. Tough way to lose.
Exciting game, though.
It was an exciting ending. Game. Yeah, definitely. It was really... a game where it was a roller coaster, I think, of emotions, because you were so happy to have Aaron back. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, how much do you expect? You know, how much do you want to count on him? Because we were able to win with Hundley. Mm-hmm. And so you just need somebody that's just better than Hundley. That's how I felt. But it was, man, what a tough way to lose.
Yeah, not a fun game. As far as the result, but it still was good to have Aaron back mm-hmm. out there. There's a big difference. I think he was the reason we were still in it at the end, even though he had three interceptions. But, you know, we still have a chance. We're recording this Monday night, and if the Falcons lose to Tampa tonight, we still have a chance to make it. If the Falcons win, we're out.
Okay. That's it. It's pretty mm-hmm. cut and dry.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, this won't be up in time for you to... You'll know the outcome of the Falcon game when this comes out.
But you guys will. We don't at this point.
Right, exactly. Which is a weird place to be if you think about it. But, the Packers 24, Panthers 31. And it just felt like towards that last part of that game, we just couldn't stop them.
Yeah, you didn't really have any confidence in the defense to make the game-winning plays that they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
There was some nice three and outs throughout the game, especially off the interceptions. We had twice that, you know, Rodgers threw a pick. We got a three and out to kind of bail them out. That was good, but for the most part, they were kind of on skates the whole game on defense.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, too, there's no way, I don't think you can measure it, but, you know, yeah, the defense bailed Aaron out of two of his three interceptions, but I think it takes a lot out of him, and that affects you later on, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and you can't knock Rodgers for not trying.
No.
Like, it's crazy he was even back to begin with this quick, mm-hmm. and he definitely seemed like he was giving it his all out there.
Yeah, he was intense.
Especially when he was running.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what are you doing?
Please don't. Yeah. Just stop. Lay down. Stop that.
Yeah, he definitely seemed shooken up after he took that. He got landed on his shoulder, and then another big guy landing on him just the same way he broke it. That it seemed to affect him. He was shaking it off a lot, grimacing a lot.
Yes, I totally agree in how he just was kind of trying to, like, go to a different place. Mm-hmm. He kind of had that look on his face that it's like, oh, we just got to move on. So, I don't know, but he looked rusty. I mean, some of his passes were mm-hmm. nowhere near what he was when he went down.
We were also a butt cheek away from them not scoring one of those touchdowns.
That was a weird call.
It was a weird call, and you didn't know the whole time which way it was going to go. I was surprised they called it the way they did.
I agree.
Every angle showed a different story, though. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So which one do you go by as the correct one?
Yeah, I always thought that, and this would be agreeing with my point, I always thought that the NFL, when they did those, you know, what was it? They always review a scoring play. They tended to go with the scoring. But that's not always the case. Sometimes they overturn some stuff that I'm like, I thought that was a slam dunk touchdown or something. But this one was just weird. With
the rule is, the rule is if you're not sure, you call it a score or you call it a first down, whatever the case. You lean towards the offense because it's easier to overturn it and reverse it than it is to say it's not a touchdown, then give them the touchdown.
Okay.
So that's their rule of thumb they're supposed to follow. They don't always. Kind of like the fail Mary with the Seahawks where you had the backup refs that year and one came in signaling touchdown, the other signaling incomplete. Dude. That's why you're supposed to just call it good and then review.
Okay. Well, it was I was 50-50 going into this game.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because Aaron being gone for as long as he was, and Carolina's a good team. And they showed it on offense. They made some really good plays. It's tough when you're trying to contain Cam and trying to contain his arm. He's got a good running game, so it's tough.
Did you notice that at one point before the play when Cam was kind of jarring with the defense?
With Matthews, I think, wasn't it?
He was standing behind the line and kind of
–
and that came out today. What he actually said at that point was – I see you guys, because they were adjusting on the defense at the time. He goes, see you guys, watch some film. That's cute. Watch this. And then he threw the touchdown to McCaffrey.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's confidence, too.
And we talked about it during the game,
One thing Cam Newton's never lacking.
He stands next to – that's right. That's you're right. But when he even stands next to his lineman. He doesn't look small.
He's taller than pretty much all of them.
He's a big guy.
He is. Like,
so you're throwing downhill the whole game. That makes it a lot easier versus a Drew Brees. But
how do you think, speaking of butt cheeks, how do you think Capers is feeling?
His sphincter.
You think his seat's a little hot?
I don't know. Again, it's the injury thing. I don't know how much to put on him. But it just seems sometimes that he...
Problem is it hasn't just been this year.
Right. He doesn't adjust. It seems like he doesn't make the changes. I could say the same thing for McCarthy, too, on offense.
Should we go into play calling?
All right, let's
While
do
we're
it.
At it?
All right.
Okay. McCarthy got away from the running game, I thought, when he didn't need to, especially with Aaron Jones. You know, you have Jones coming in. He hasn't been playing much. He had a couple carries last week because of the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But on three runs, he's averaging over 15 yards a run. And then we just stop running him until later in the game.
The quicker they pull the plug.
I know. It's it's just the weirdest thing.
I don't get it.
I'm not sure the reason for it. And I think what you have to look at with McCarthy and kind of his crew when you look at coaching is can ownership, which, hey.
That's us.
That is us. So I'm sticking with we. Can we forgive, you know, the differences in this team with Rodgers and without? Would we have been competitive against the Panthers with Hunley in there?
Well, you know, it's excellent. I'm glad you asked that because I was wondering about that because Aaron wasn't the real Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I think the defense played for the real Aaron. So I think you've said this before that when Rodgers is in, the team plays differently. Like he's going to cover for us. So I can't give you a yes or no. I think
I don't
possible.
Think it would have been a close game.
You don't think so?
Especially with Luke Kuechly. He's such a general in their defense, and when he's in, they're so much better. He adjusts he just reads the offense, and he adjusts the whole defense. He's a smart guy. I think he would have had Hunley running in circles.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. But.
So, even, you know, besides the fact, there's a big difference on this team with and without Rodgers,
right.
And I know he's, you know, the star quarterback, all that, but one player should not make or break a team.
Right.
And that's a coaching problem when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
For example, the Vikings. They lost their quarterback, so they got a backup. They lost their backup, so they used their third string. And, you know, they managed to win. That's your job. You have to find a way to win.
Yeah. I would say I'm I'll point my finger at McCarthy, but I'm also going to point it at the people from there up, and not just him. This is a organizational issue.
Systemic.
Ooh. English major coming out here.
Capers, frustrating game with all the talk about Capers to then watch this game where there was not a single adjustment, it felt like. We talked about before the game, Cam Newton's probably going to be their leading rusher.
Yep.
Sure enough, you know, he had a big game. I don't think he ended up being the leading rusher in the end. I think that was McCaffrey, but
I know going into the end of the first half, he was the leading rusher because you looked at me and smirked because you called it before the game started.
But we don't spy him either.
No.
We don't put a spy on him. We don't try to confuse him. It's just, it's vanilla defense.
I'm going to go here. When the announcers circle a guy and go, here's the guy you want to watch, and he catches the ball wide open, there's a problem.
There is. There was some broken coverages, but for the most part, it was just bad play calling, a lot of it, bad schemes. A lot of our big stops, like those three and outs after the interceptions, those were talent plays. You have guys making big plays on defense, not necessarily the play calling.
Right.
And good defense overall. I think we've seen that a lot, which shows that we do have talent on this defense. We just, it gets, you know.
Well, I think that.
Hidden.
having to, like, cover our people that are hurt. And really, I think that. I don't want to get too negative on Capers because, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, when you have three turnovers, whether they score or not, I mean, you only have so much gas in the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they stopped him twice. But there's things that are going to happen, especially when you're younger and you got these players that aren't used to being able to instinctively do the play.
Yeah, and it's a good point. The turnovers are a killer, especially when your defense is struggling. You know, you can't have both of them. You can't be giving the offense good field position and trying to, you know, make up for your defense. It's just you're going to lose the game that way.
Hey, did you happen to see Aaron's post-game interview?
Or no.
What are they? Conference? Press conference? He looked bad. I mean, he looked like just
as in
like he had the flu, and I mean he was like white. I mean, I think he was emotionally hurt bad, and he was just honest. It's just like, I just didn't do it. It's just not, this is not what I'm required to do. And it's just like, I can't imagine.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I can't imagine the weight.
Especially when you're making the game winning drive, you complete the pass and then it's fumbled.
Oh,
God. To still put that on yourself?
Oh, man, that was tough. I watched that today, and like, I stopped it before it actually happened. It came up on the video. I'm like, I can't do it to myself. We were gonna do it. We were going.
We were doing another Rodgers.
Yep.
Classic game-winning, game-tying drive.
All right,
got the onside kick.
Yes, which was awesome. All right, let's get into specifics then.
Rodgers, 26 of 45, 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 6 rushes for 47 yards.
He had 6 too many rushes.
6 too many rushes.
It's just my stomach turned every time he'd start taking off to run. I mean, they worked out, but man.
So at least 2 of them, I don't know if you can say for sure all 3, but at least 2 of those interceptions he underthrew it.
Yeah.
And that was the cause of the interception. Each time he did that, he was throwing on the move, you know, off his feet. Do you think it was a combination of not quite healed, don't have the strength you always do in your arm, and not setting your feet? If you're, you know, still healing, should you maybe be setting your feet?
No, 'cause I think it's just rust.
You think rust?
Yep, I really do. I just think, I told you during the game, I think his head... You know, you'll find this out as you get older. Your head wants to do one thing, but your body won't let you do it. And I think that was a case of him just being gone. and he knew what he wanted to happen. I mean,
and that's a lot of, you're talking about the pressure he put on himself and how he looked after the game. That's a lot of pressure leading up to that, where he, all those weeks trying to get back, and the team made it. Like, they stayed in the race for him to come back.
Exactly.
That's a lot of pressure, and that can, you know, I know he's always been a very clutch guy, and he's always stepped up to a lot of pressure, but that's a lot to put on yourself. Mm-hmm. So I could see trying to force plays. And
it's almost, in a way, it's kind of like the Super Bowl, because you got one game. If you don't win this game, your chances of making the playoffs are really
slim.
We've
been in the playoffs for 2 weeks before this game.
That's true.
We lose, we're out. That's playoffs. So we did the same last year when we ran the table. That was a lot of playoffs.
So I'm going to turn it around on you. What do you think? Do you think it's you asked me about his interceptions. Do you think it was more of a mental thing?
I think he's trying to force it, trying to make plays that weren't there. Combination of things, really. And I think he did look, I mean, he had an interception before the big hit on the shoulder. Obviously, he's still rusty, but he did look different after that hit. It seemed to change the way he was playing, change the way he was, you know, throwing a little, how fast he was getting the ball out.
Well, his demeanor, like you said in the beginning, his the look on his face.
He was angry at the beginning of that game. He was mad.
So, all right.
Would have liked to see a little bit better pass protection
that
when you
was,
have a beat up
bad.
Rodgers back there.
Yeah. He took,
but
a couple
it's not
going
to change. It's this has been our pass protection all year. It's not like we can expect, okay, Rodgers is back, they're going to realize we should protect him.
Right. We're actually going to try
now. Gave up 3 sacks.
Yeah. He got, I can't remember the number. Do I have it up here? Do you know where I can find it quick on here on hits?
I don't know, buddy.
Okay, all right.
Not quickly.
It's not on that one. All right. I had NFL.com up for the stats, but he seemed to get hit. There was a couple of times. I think it was the left tackle.
Spriggs, right tackle.
Right tackle. That just, like, totally cleared. He just, like, wasn't even there. His guy just ran right by him. And, and Rodgers had to make a move, or he got creamed. Or hit.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game. He's been serviceable last few weeks. He, right when he stepped in, he was playing well, but he's kind of gotten progressively worse. I think he's getting kind of overwhelmed a lot, and he couldn't do any thing this game, it felt like, and in classic McCarthy style, he doesn't help him.
See, I saw you put that down on the script. It's like, that is so true. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Why not?
McCarthy never, and he'll even, like, say going into halftime, yeah, we got, you know, we got to make sure we're protecting Rodgers. We got to chip those blocks and stuff. It's like, well, you're the guy that calls
that.
The fact
it.
That on the last sack of the game that ended the game, you know, you got Spriggs, who's been struggling all game on the right side, rusher coming at him, and you line up the running back on Rodgers' left side. Mm. How's he supposed to help on the right side? You know, that's play
really
calling.
That's a really good point, John. Well, so we're just going to just dig in today. We're going to fester up this.
Run blocking has been better than our pass blocking all year. Mm-hmm. Has actually been pretty impressive. And we have our rookie running backs that have been impressive. But we didn't see much run blocking this game.
Because we didn't run much.
And it's not like we were playing catch up all game. They went down and they scored right away, but then we got, you know, we matched them. We
were
7-7
right after.
Yeah, we were matching them the whole time.
Right.
It's not that we're behind and we have to play catch up. We have to keep throwing it. We can run the ball. It's McCarthy just let himself get out of the, you know, game rhythm of it, really.
Okay, I got to ask you this. I was going to do it last week because you've been like, okay, what about regime change? What about stuff like that? 0 to 100. How surprised would you be if they changed head coaches at the end of the year for Green Bay? This is way out of left field.
90.
Okay.
Or more.
90 or more.
I don't think they're changing head coaches. But I think they should at this point. And not that I don't like McCarthy. I think he's a good coach. I like Capers. It's just, it's time. Sometimes it's just time. You saw it with the Rams. They didn't make a ton of changes on their offense or their defense. They have the same players they've had.
Right. Right.
They brought in a offensive genius and a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator.
Imagine that.
It's going to make a difference all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think it was John Madden that said that anything over, I think it's 7 years as a head coach, it's just too long.
I'm trying to remember who it was that said it, but I saw an interview a while back where they were saying, if you want football coaching talent, like the real talent, you got to go to college.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where the talent is.
I agree.
The guys in the NFL, they said for the most part, if they have an NFL head coaching job, they took less money. That's why they're there. They were willing to take less money to get the job. Isn't that interesting?
Ooh.
And that's from another coach's perspective. That's from the inside. That's how a lot of people feel about it.
Wow.
Besides, you know, like the Belichicks and Tomlins.
Well, I know that, like, Harbaugh in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the best of both worlds. I mean, he's back home.
Yeah.
And he's making more, a lot more than mm-hmm. the NFL.
And coaches. That kind of explains how Rex Ryan got a head coaching job. and a lot of coaches, to be honest. Ben McAdoo. Mm-hmm. For the Giants.
I don't get why he ever got that job.
He was probably paying them.
I mean, the fact that... No, I'm not going to go there. I could go too far down that road. Okay, let's talk about...
Rushing.
Rushing.
Aaron Jones, 3 rushes for 47 yards, then disappears in a cloud of dust, never to be seen again.
And I want to... Again, I can't... I just want to reiterate when you said
you
that...
You said you
want
to move on
McCarthy
to rushing.
Giving
you
up.
Said you wanted to move on to rushing.
I am. This is rushing.
Oh, okay.
It's McCarthy giving it up on the rushing game. It's like, I didn't... I mean, I kind of got it, but then until you've been pointing it out after every game, it's like, that's frustrating. You're right. It's really frustrating.
He's always had a hard time sticking with what works.
It should be a book title, Sean. He's always had a hard time sticking with what works.
Or we should just write a book called Sticking With What Works and, like, slip it under his door. And it's one page. It says, stick with what works.
It's okay to stick with what
comma,
works.
Mike. So he knows.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I mean, I want to say more about Aaron Jones, but what else am I going to say? He looked good for his 3 runs. He had a really nice cut at one point. I'm glad he's healthy. We can't say much more.
Yeah,
that's all we saw.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams, 10 rushes for 30 yards. He was running hard like he always does, but he was getting hit at the line a lot when he was in there, and they didn't stick with him.
Right.
Kind of that bruising back like he's been. You got to give him momentum. He has to start pounding to get those big runs, but that's not going to happen.
And it's tough to watch that because I totally agree with you on that. What I feel with him, it's a lot like a Wisconsin game to watch a Wisconsin Badgers where they stick with it and they're okay to play kind of vanilla offense. And then eventually you know that you're going to wear down that defense because you've stuck with the run game. And to me, that's the perfect mix. You've got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, even Hundley. But of course, Aaron's better. But if you stick with that running game and you just get that defense worn down enough, and also psychologically thinking, we don't know because they've run it so much, we don't know how to run it. Because you could see how they were stacking up on defense; they mm-hmm. weren't worried about the rushing game.
No, they weren't worried about. And even if we had been rushing well and rushing a lot, I don't think they would have been worried about the rushing game. Because they were worried about Aaron.
Yeah.
Which you can't blame them.
Mm-mm.
The other thing with Jamal is, from what we've seen of him this year, he doesn't usually go down from the first defender. He usually breaks that first tackle, sometimes just runs through the guy. This game, they tackled so well the whole game, the Panthers did.
They're green.
They were wrapping up, and kind of like what we talked about, it's just a coaching thing. I think it was 2 weeks ago on the podcast we talked about that it you have to emphasize that as a coach. You have to practice it. If you don't, they're going to throw themselves into him with their shoulder.
Bounce off him.
Yeah, and we did it all game. You see our guys get a clean hit at him, but they just try to spear him in the gut, and they get left in the dust.
Yeah, it's a thing that I read an article with Pete Carroll. We talked about this earlier in the year, where he's gotten pretty big into trying to get the league, National Football League, to tackle like they do in rugby, because
that's what I said like 4 weeks ago on the podcast, because they don't wear helmets, so they don't throw their head into people.
Yep.
If you didn't have a helmet on, you wouldn't try to headbutt a wall. It just makes sense.
Yeah but Seattle is also a great tackling defense.
You know the problem with that, though?
What?
And I know that it makes sense, but it's not going to be in the NFL. That's not where it's going to start. You have to start it when they're young.
Right.
And it's going to be a pretty hard pill to make parents swallow to take away their kids' football helmets.
Yeah, right. you're going to take away...
Because they have to learn how to do it when they're young. They can't just change a lifetime of habit later on.
But how about that? Think about that. It'd be interesting to see statistics on injuries later, or repercussions of playing in the NFL versus repercussions of being a professional rugby player. You know what? Because I would like to see the comparison between the two.
It's been a while, but I saw it on Reddit a while back. It's way different. Rugby, their main issues are usually leg issues. But
we should look.
I mean, obviously they have a lot of injuries. It's rugby, but you don't have all these concussions and just, you know, head trauma.
Right. I mean, and which, speaking of which, go to talking about receivers, Adams.
Yeah, moving on to Adams.
Hit.
Another one this year. It's just,
man, it just was
you
wrong.
Feel bad for him in a year where he's trying so hard, playing so well.
He's going to make a huge contract.
Getting these dirty hits.
He's going to have a huge year.
It was good to see him get up on the field. Did you see what Adams put out there? Today he put on Twitter that he was just frustrated. He's like, I don't understand why we have to do this in the NFL. That, you know, I'm out here trying to provide for my family, trying to make a living. I'm not going to be able to do this forever. I need to do well while I can. Mm. He goes, we're all the same way. He's like, it's a dangerous enough game. Why do we have to try to take each other out, you know?
Mm. You know,
and then Taylor, I believe it is, Davis Taylor, he came out and apologized, said he really didn't mean to. He got caught up in the moment trying to turn around and make a block, and he apologized, so that was good to see. But he did get a 2-game suspension.
Oh, I did not see
the
that.
NFL released that today.
Wow.
Got a 2-game suspension, so he'll probably appeal and get a 1-game suspension.
Which I always think is just a joke. Really? Okay. All right, we'll cut it in half.
Well, you give him 2 so that he gets 1.
Right.
You give him 1, he might get none.
It's like somebody's asking $100 for something you want to buy from them used, and you go, I'll give you 50, and they're like, I'll split it with you. I'll make it 75. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, gosh, he looks good. And I was surprised that Aaron was eyeballing him. He was watching Adams. Thought it would be more of a Jordy thing. He's back and Jordy's his guy.
Yeah, but what would you think if you're Aaron? It had to have been frustrating watching Hundley, especially Hundley's bad games, and you're on the sideline, but then you got this one receiver who still manages to have big games.
Yeah, right.
It's going to catch your eye.
Right, exactly.
A receiver you already really liked.
Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I think Adams is at he's up for new contract. Am I right? Okay.
And you've asked this on the last
and
two
then
podcasts.
What about Aaron?
Aaron? He's not up for contract.
I think he's got 1 year left.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep. No, Aaron's not up.
I just Adams thought, what an expensive offseason if they Yeah. Signed both of them.
Five receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Randall Cobb had a good game. Better game than we've seen, you know, without Rodgers, that's for sure.
He's been pretty silent.
That 33-yard catch and run for the touchdown was just beautiful.
That was like,
and you didn't really think they were going to catch him either.
Right.
Once he got in space and he started making guys miss, I was like, this is probably going to be a touchdown. Like,
Sean and I both at the same time did the hand movement. Like the way he actually cut through and he stutters. That was great.
And what was that statistic? I believe it was 69% of his yards this year have come yards after the catch, which is the highest in the NFL.
Yeah, just under 70%, yeah.
Yep, I believe it was 69%, yep. Yeah. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Totally cool. That's awesome. That tells you a lot about his athleticism.
Mm-hmm. And then he had a few also in the second half that if he could have just broken the tackle, he would have had a lot of yards after it. Where they had a couple where they just wrapped him up too much. He just couldn't quite get away.
Right.
So he could have even had a bigger game. Jordy, you were hoping he'd explode.
Yeah,
so quiet and probably frustrated without Rodgers. And then he comes in, three catches, 28 yards. Another kind of slow game for him. He did have that really nice grab on the out route. I believe it was third down. He's had a lot of big third down short catches the last few weeks. You wish you could have seen more, but part of it might be what we've been talking about, where he relies so much on the timing and the precision passes, and we weren't seeing that with rusty Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
If that's not there, it's not going to just magically be there with Jordy. Geronimo Allison had a couple good catches in the game. Unfortunately, he did have the heartbreaker fumble to end it for us there.
There really isn't another way. I think that's a perfect heartbreaker.
Yeah.
It was because you could feel the momentum, and you could feel like, yeah, Aaron had three interceptions, but we're moving. We're going. And then, no, that's not what you want. All right, well, let's cover the defense.
We talked enough about capers. We won't talk capers, but they did a decent job stopping the run at points. It wasn't great overall. And I think part of that is just because our defense didn't do well stopping them, that they were able to play action a lot and kind of bait them into pass rushing when they're running. You know, it happens a lot when you're behind.
Yep.
But overall, I think they did pretty well on run defense. The numbers aren't really there. On 23 rushes, McCaffrey and Stewart had 90 yards. That's just under four yards per run. You'd like to see that better. We have been better than that for the most part this year. That opening drive with McCaffrey, he got 9 touches. That opening drive, we couldn't stop him. And he's so talented.
But
for a rookie.
They kind of set the tone for the game, because at the end of the game as well, it's like we would score. When they got ahead by 2 scores, you could tell that second time they got the touchdown, it was like they just basically took control. And you could see, like you said, that our line was like on skates. And you could really see it towards the end. I felt that on defense that we just never – plus the fact that we had so many dang penalties.
We had, was it 4 offsides penalties this game?
I think it was. It was stupid.
One last thing I want to say about McCaffrey is Rivera kind of pulled a McCarthy there. He had 9 touches on that touchdown opening drive, and then he didn't even go to him for like the rest of the first half.
That's right.
Why not stick with what works?
I don't know. I'm trying to.
What are you looking for?
Here. I don't know where they are.
Here.
Let me give you
just
the mouse.
Just hand it over.
All right, you take.
So we had 6 penalties for 25 yards. They had 5 for 40 yards.
Wow, it seemed like a lot more for
us. Well, we had 4 offsides, but those are 5 yards each. So that's only 20 yards right there. They had more yards than us on less, but still. The fact that we were offsides, and one of them was a big, I think it was 3rd and 4, big 3rd down.
It was first.
And was it Matthews that jumped off?
Yep.
He didn't really have a good game.
Not at all.
Matthews,
no.
Which is frustrating because he's had a few good ones that he's strung together now.
Well, I was kind of watching him. I brought it up to you during the game. It's like he just like was like out of the play. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just like all of a sudden he would be like confused about where he's supposed to go.
Yeah, and when he's playing well, one of the things they say about him, and the announcers will say every game, is he's always around the ball. But that's the opposite when he's not playing well. He just can't quite
right.
get there. And, yeah, it was frustrating. He's so off and on the last few seasons for us where he either shows up or he doesn't or he's injured. And we've talked about the shortage of salary cap on the defensive side. It makes you wonder, is he worth it?
I don't think so anymore.
For the production we're getting, right. He's our second highest paid defensive player.
Yep.
I think the money could be spent better elsewhere. You hate to say that because he's a fan favorite. Everyone likes Clay.
Well, the other thing you got to think about with Matthews is injuries. Every year he's out for X amount of games.
He's getting older. It's not going to get better.
I think right now we need to hang our hat on Martinez as our linebacker that we get excited about because – This kid's good. He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, he's a stud. Our pass rush overall was not good this game. I know Perry went out with an injury, but I don't know. It was frustrating. We had one sack on the day. We've said it feels like every week when you have a struggling secondary, you have to find a way to get pressure. That's how you play defense when you have a struggling secondary. And it just didn't feel like Capers was doing anything creative to make that happen, which when we were, the Super Bowl year or the year after that, he was notorious in the league for being creative and always finding ways to get pressure. Right. What happened to that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's frustrating. That's where I started to buy into your thing. It's like whether you like him or not, it's time. We need to shake.
There's too much film on Capers when he doesn't adjust. Belichick, there's no film on Belichick because you never know what he's gonna do week to week.
Right.
it's never even the same team half the time. Like their defense was one of the worst in the league, the Patriots, to start the year.
Yeah.
Most teams, that's a death nail for your season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now, it's fine.
Yeah,
there's no defensive issues. Who does that like that?
Right.
And the fact that no one even really questioned it either. The fact that Belichick will get them turned around.
Well, and they're also notorious for picking up. They just did it. I can't remember the guy, but an older player that just got dropped, and they picked him up right away, and because they know that there's just like maybe one or two plays. That this guy will be a difference maker.
You want to know the other, what I think is the main reason they always grab those old guys that sometimes don't even play? You get them for just dirt. Nothing you want. You were probably going to, if it's a player, you're probably going to cut them anyways. You bring them in, and they drop them after that season. They almost always drop them after that season, and they get conditional picks. That's why they always have so many conditional picks in the draft.
Okay.
They're just... Okay. Buying picks, basically.
Okay.
Isn't that genius?
That is genius. Wow. Good for you, man. Okay. Well, let's move on to special teams. I mean, not a whole lot to talk about. Crosby did great, as he has. He's been doing great all year. Vogel, he
had a good – has had a very good year.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since we've had a reliable punter.
Yeah.
Which
it's nice. It's nice not to get scared when either your punter or your field goal kicker is out
there. Yeah, because the last couple of years, there's been points where it's like, okay, I know it's 4th and 8, but is it worth it to punt 20 yards? Like, should we just go for it?
And unfortunately, Davis didn't really get much of a chance.
Yeah, he didn't really, it felt like ever had a chance to make a return. You never felt like, okay, he could be dangerous here. Not too much to talk about on special teams,
but that's a good thing. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I took this loss. what was it, the first game Hundley had, and I said that it was a good, it felt okay. It wasn't a bad loss. Felt like this one was tough for me because Aaron coming back and how much was on the game. And I just, like, if we win this game, that's huge.
And it, again, I know there were points the defense bailed out Rodgers, but again, it feels like if we could have just stopped them a little bit more, you know. How much can you expect from Rodgers in that game coming back off that injury where we have to be able to hold him under 30 points? That's right. The mark we've set. Right. And I don't know. It's frustrating. I think we said McCarthy leaving, I think, is a very slim chance. I don't know how you feel about that. I think there is a good chance Capers goes. I think there's been enough, you know, time now where you have these, I'm trying to think of how to word it, kind of like when Favre, when he left the Packers,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's the franchise. You don't fire the franchise. But if in the championship game with the game on the line, you tell him whatever you do, don't audible, and he audibles from a run to a pass, throws a pick, and you lose, you have an excuse now to get rid of the star player. You see a lot of the times when they get rid of these big names, it's because they finally have an excuse. And I think this season might be their excuse to finally get rid of their Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator.
So do they keep on Ted Thompson?
Is Ted staying? Or is he retiring? He's been close to retiring.
Well,
he's
got a year.
Because I think he said he wants to do one more year. Yeah. I don't see them not letting him come back his one last year.
Okay.
And
Which isn't the worst thing in the world. I mean, he's a great person. Yeah, I think a lot of teams would love to have Ted Thompson as their personnel mm-hmm. guy.
Panthers played a consistent game. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of big plays when they needed them. And I think the one thing they did really well against us is matchups. I know we've talked about that where I get really frustrated that McCarthy, he lines up, and if you can stop him, go ahead and try.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what, you know, he projects to the defense. Whereas you see a lot of the success teams have, and especially teams like the Rams, for example, they don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver. But they get a lot of guys open because of matchups. You have people or guys like Ryan Woods. He's not a huge star, but if you put him up against an inside linebacker, he's going to get space.
I haven't watched the Rams much this year.
They're fun to watch.
Are they?
He's a good offensive play caller. He doesn't even watch the game when it's defense,
really?
Even though he's the head coach. He lets his defensive coordinator take care of it. He goes sits on a Gatorade bottle with his clipboard and he draws out what he wants to do the next drive. It's pretty funny. And sometimes if like the crowd cheers or Oz, he'll like look up quick, but then he looks back down.
I'll have to check that out. That's funny.
Well, yeah.
It was a tough loss. I you know, I said that when Aaron went down that, you know, you look at the team differently. You judge the team differently when they're losing. You can, you know, kind of gloss over some issues when you're winning. And I think McCarthy's been pretty blessed. You know, he had Favre and he's got Aaron. I don't think there's too many head coaches in the NFL or any, even college, that could say that they've had that opportunity.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I think that knowing that, it puts a special focus on what are you doing with that talent.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It is a frustrating loss. Like we said, we're currently at 6:44 p.m. Central time on Monday night. So the game starts in less than an hour. We don't know if the Falcons won or lost, but hopefully we still have a shot. I think it's still a pretty slim shot for us to make the playoffs if they lose.
Right. Well, Seattle
and
did lose.
It's so gone. Yeah. Like, our chance of making it is pretty much, I don't think we have a chance if they win tonight, do we?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we don't.
All right.
One thing I want to say, a silver lining. I know it's been a bummer in Packerland, but one silver lining is, with Rodgers out, we got a lot more exciting football than we might have. We could have lost earlier, and those were fun games. Tampa, beating Cleveland, both in overtime.
Overtime, yeah.
Then this exciting game. That's three more exciting games than we could have had.
Yeah, amen. All right, let's go over the scores. Anything that sticks out to you that you want to mention? I was...
Detroit won again. They're still in the playoff race. Yep. 2010 over the Bears. Kansas City kind of got their stuff back together for a game.
I was surprised they beat the Los Angeles, the Chargers. It's hard for me to say.
Well, they started 5-0 when Kareem Hunt was just blowing up the league as a rookie.
Right.
And then they stopped giving him the ball for some reason, and they've struggled. And
what is
and now this game,
that?
They gave him the ball again. He had a huge game, and they won.
Miami.
Stick with what works,
New
Mike.
England. Yeah, I know. Miami, who beat New England, loses to Buffalo 24-60. That one kind of stuck out to me.
Because the NFL's weird.
It is. I'm glad I don't bet.
Jacksonville with another blowout. They beat Houston 45-7. What
man.
A weird year. They clinched a playoff spot. Last time Jacksonville made the playoffs was 2007.
Really?
2007.
Wow.
Think about that for a second.
Well, that's like 10 years.
That is 10 years. Good math.
We had New Orleans over the Jets, or New Orleans, depending where you live, 31-19. Not a big surprise. I was kind of surprised on the Philly game, but I knew, was it Foles?
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. He's a good backup, but I didn't expect him.
Giants gave him a fight.
Yeah, it was close.
Let's see here. Minnesota, big win over, or we already said that one. My bad. You moved the screen. It threw me off.
I had to move it over.
Rams with 42-7 over Seattle. Just blew them out and won a lot of people their semifinal fantasy game. Todd Gurley had like 40 points. He had three touchdowns at halftime. Had another after that. I think I saw something like 90% of teams that were in the playoffs with Gurley won their game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That has to feel pretty good if you see the headline as Todd Gurley.
Kidding.
He's like, yes, I did. And the other big score will be the Falcons result. Falcons and Buccaneers result.
Yeah, I'll be watching that tonight for sure. Okay.
You want to do the game ball?
No, you do the game.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Glad to have you back. We appreciate you giving it your all and coming back when you weren't 100%.
Yeah, I
have a game ball.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He wasn't 100%. But I heard that he had to get to 80 was the big thing. But you deserve the game, even with three interceptions, because you underthrew the ball over and over again. Hey, if you need anything, or you know of anybody that would benefit from doing some somebody like me that would do some voiceover work for you, I've got a website. It's called Voice Guy Next Door, voiceguynextdoor.com, and it's real simple. I think there's just a couple of pages. It's basically got the home page, which got my demos on it, and also contact. You can contact me. But Voice Guy Next Door, I'd love to, whatever it is. You know, I've done anything from videos to radio, TV commercials, telephone and stuff. So just give it a check. I appreciate it. Voice Guy Next Door.
All right. And the NFC North report. Our show here, you might have found us on packtothefuture.com. We're a radio show on there. And I also write weekly articles, the NFC North Report, where it kind of looks at, what happened the previous week in the North, each team's upcoming matchups, the playoff race, kind of how that's going to shake out, and looks at, certain kind of aspects of teams. I like to do a lot of the time where, why are the Vikings having all this success? Well, here's their play action percentages compared to the rest of the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Or why are the Lions struggling? Well, here's when they were winning, how they were stopping teams on the run. Here's how they've been since. That
I really like it because it helps me enjoy the game, because you've given me a heads up on how it is. Let's say, packtothefuture.com.
It's the NFC North report. We'd appreciate you checking it out. And also join the Facebook group, Bleeding Green and Gold. Join the discussion. And if you want your voice heard, you know, email the show, put it up on the group. Give us your opinion. Give us your questions, whatever you want.
Yeah, anytime if you want to just chit-chat. We actually got a pretty good setup for as far as equipment. So if you want to just kind of talk a little bit about your Packer experience, I'd love to be able to put it up on the podcast. So please just reach out to us. That's fine. I'm looking up here and I see...
Everyone's favorite part Mike. Of the show.
Mike is up by what?
Especially Mike's favorite part of the show this year.
2017.
It has not been a wild ride on picks this year.
No.
You have had a 2 to 3 point lead since like week one.
Woohoo!
It's just... Last week...
It's been a good year.
Bears at Lions. Mike picked the Lions. Sean trusted the Bears to help him close the gap, and they failed him. That's why you never trust the Bears.
And they actually looked so much like the Bears. Did you watch the game at all? I watched
a
some
little
of it,
bit.
And they, it's like it got a quarter and a half into the game, and then they just like, all right, we're the Bears. We're supposed to look this way.
They're trying, and then all of a sudden their coach gets a little phone call. What's that?
Back off.
Draft picks.
Right.
Oh, God. we both took the Vikings to beat the Bengals. We were both correct. We were both wrong, thinking the Packers would beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to next week, we have Browns at Bears. Go.
Bears.
Browns. First
yeah,
win of the season.
Oh, you're going for the first. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't do it.
Josh Gordon, 400 yards. One of them he throws to himself. You just wait. You laugh now.
Okay.
Lions at Bengals.
I'm going to go with Lions because their head coach basically said he's not coming back today, so they're tanking.
You mean the Bengals head coach?
Yep. So I'm taking the Lions.
Marvin Lewis denied that comment, that news story, actually. But yeah, I'll go with the Lions too.
When stuff like that comes out in the media, it's kind of like the, let's say, the coach for Florida State gets a call from Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, no, I have no interest. Hey, they're offering me $20 million. I have no desire at all. You better give me a raise.
Well, he's been there 17 years
right.
as well.
Right.
And then Vikings at Packers. Is Rodgers playing? Is Rodgers playing if the Falcons win tonight?
Yeah.
Probably not. You think he is?
I think so.
I think no.
Okay. Well, that's not the pick.
No, it's not.
Vikings.
That'll be the Packers, tiebreaker.
Vikings at Packers. Vikings at Packers. I'm going to go Vikings. I was going to go Packers because I'm ahead by 3, so I can't lose the year.
If you win Packers, I was going to switch over because I need to close the gap. So I'll take Packers.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, it's in Lambeau. Anything can happen in Lambeau. And I think we might get dumped on with snow. This weekend, I saw something in Wisconsin. They might get a lot, and that's always, you know, weather's always the great equalizer.
Yeah,
you see a lot of great teams against mediocre ones, and it's just a deadlock game till the end because of the weather.
Yeah, yeah, it just makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun game. Vikings are on a roll. Hopefully, our defense can slow them down.
Man, I would love for whatever the football gods got to do for the Packers to be able to make it and for us to get to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
God, wouldn't it have been?
Oh,
and
man.
The thing is, even with all these issues on the team that we've been pointing out, I know you've said when you're losing, you start nitpicking.
Right.
But if Rodgers doesn't get hurt, we're 13-3.
Easy.
Because that's the difference he makes.
Yep.
It's just crazy.
Yep, 100%.
And all the injuries, it's been such a weird year. It will be, to say this, if the Packers don't make the playoffs, it's always, you know, a bummer, never fun. It's pretty rare lately.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be an interesting playoff year because there's a lot of teams that aren't normally in the playoffs in them.
Yeah.
Or going to be.
Yep, I agree. All right. Well, let's hope that Atlanta loses and the Packers beat the Vikings. And until next week, go Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!